Today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and thus we commemorate an apparition of Our Lady that occurred in 1858 to Bernadette Soubirous. It is close to the beginning of what we might term the Marian Age of the Church. In a certain sense, every age of the Church is a Marian Age. But particularly since just before the middle of the 19th century up to the present day, this period of church history really has been marked in a particular way, a remarkable way, by the presence of Our Lady, by a pondering upon the mystery of Our Lady, and by fervent devotion to Our Lady. And this age, we may say, began with the appearance of Our Lady to St. Catherine Labouré, the apparitions of the miraculous medal. And Lourdes forms a very important part of the beginning of this Marian age. Of course, the appearance of Our Lady to St. Bernadette happened just a few years after the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. She chose to confirm the magisterial pronouncement of this dogma when she spoke the words to St. Bernadette, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And Our Lady, in appearing in this way, and the Church in pondering the mystery of Our Lady in a more intense way over the last nearly two centuries, and the more fervent devotion that's been practiced to Our Lady, notwithstanding the difficulties encountered around and just after the time of the Second Vatican Council, is, we might say, heaven's way of representing the roadmap to us, namely the roadmap to heaven. This roadmap, of course, is not something that's new, but it's kind of like various maps that might need to be presented in various ways to catch our attention. So maps can be redrawn in order that we might catch certain details that we might before have missed or that we need to be reminded of. For as we know, the completeness of divine revelation came with the coming of Jesus, with the revelation of Jesus Christ, and with the teaching of the apostles. And so on this score, there is nothing new, so to speak, to be revealed. And so whatever Our Lady does, and whatever we do to ponder the mystery of Our Lady, and whatever devotion we practice toward her, simply is to reinforce what already has been revealed by our Lord. Nonetheless, our Lord has wished that Our Lady play a vital role in our salvation, which is brought out in the gospel reading that we heard narrating the wedding feast of Cana. Our Lady had an important role to play. Jesus would not begin his public ministry without her permission. It is she who came to him to, so to speak, remind him, not that he forgot, of course, but in a manner of speaking, he waited for her before he began the work of drawing all men to himself. He wanted her permission, although he didn't need it, but in the divine design, she was, in a certain sense, the authority whereby Jesus freely chose to begin the work of drawing us to himself. And in the history of salvation, this is the way that it has always been. It has been the Mother through whom the Son has come. And it is by the Mother that we go to the Son, and therefore return to the Father, as we are called to do. And in an age increasingly forgetful of the necessity to go to the Son, to return to the Father, in an age which pretends that God has no relevance, all the more must God capture the attention to present the roadmap anew, as it were. And so the figure of the Blessed Virgin Mary becomes ever more prominent as a result, because God always acts at her behest. Indeed, if it were not for her, we would wonder whether God would pay any attention to us at all. And really, why should he? When we think about it, what have we offered God that he ought to pay attention to us? What good have we given God that he ought to pay attention to listen to our entreaties? We haven't offered anything good to God. He's given us every good thing, and what have we given in return? If we have given anything good in return, it is because God has given it to us first. It is that forgetfulness, indeed, that God has given us these good things that we give back to him. This is the problem. This massive lack of gratitude and the giving of offense to God on an increasingly grand scale. The latest pope has reminded us, as so many recent popes have, that the great sin of our present age is the loss of the sense of sin. The fact that we don't perceive it doesn't diminish the gravity. Actually, it increases it. That's what the popes keep reminding us. The fact that we make no account of it makes the gravity even worse, because we should know better. We can't claim invincible ignorance on this account. And that's why God looks ever more to draw our attention to himself by allowing our Blessed Mother, sending her in a manner of speaking, as the ambassador par excellence of his mercy, to awaken us to the reality of our need to ask forgiveness and to return to him. And we can thank the good Lord that he's made it so easy. For who would not want really to approach this august lady? What a shame it has been throughout history that so many have made it so difficult. What responsibility must be on their shoulders that they have placed an obstacle in the path of so many by imagining that Mary somehow gets in the way of Jesus. What is the gravity of that crime? Instead, here she is, not at arm's length, but very close to our hearts. And let us be resolved to let be determined that no one will take Our Lady away from us, because she will not flee from us. Our Lady will not flee from us. It is we who place her at arm's length, or who allow others to take her away from us. But she will never desert us. This we know by the testimony of Jesus himself when he said, Woman, behold your son. And when Mary hears the words of Jesus, not only does she take them to the heart, as we might take to heart certain words, but she lives them out forevermore. That's what Mary does. So once hearing the command of Jesus, she takes us into her heart, and she never banishes us from her heart. In a certain sense, we might say that she almost has to do violence to herself so that she doesn't appear more often. But it's for our good that she comes very discreetly in the way that she does, that she is inspired the magisterium of the church to gradually allow the real truth about her to unfold, that she has kindled in the hearts of so many faithful this devotion to her, which redounds solely to the glory of God. This is the quiet work that Our Lady has accomplished in the history of the church. and what this feast day reminds us of, this quiet work. And Jesus wishes for us to pay attention to her, to place herself at her disposal in order that he, listening to her, can carry out that work of sanctification in our hearts. We ask then of our Blessed Mother that we who are privileged to live in this Marian age of the Church may allow this age to bear much fruit in our hearts, that if this is a Marian age, that we will have the privilege of being called Marian apostles, that we will cherish the privilege of being called Marian devotees, that we will cherish the privilege of being among those who recognize that all blessings come to us because of this woman. And we will have the privilege of spreading that good news to others. And if we do these things, then we will have nothing to fear when we come before the judgment seat, as we all will have to one day. Because no matter what we might have done up to now, how seriously we have offended our Lord, we will at least be able to say to our Lord, I found the roadmap and I followed it, and I have no regrets. Praise be Jesus and Mary.